Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan
Holtby. Hello and welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, speaking to you live to tape, as always, from my humble belongings at in beautiful downtown Glen Burnie, Maryland. Yeah. Well, yep. It's definitely that time of year again, and not where we wanted to be, but giving it one last kick at the can here, and talk about the year that was, unfortunately, gonna try not to be too down about it, but
I'm gonna say it's a little too late for that.
Yeah. Yeah,
you have already started out in that mode. And like I said, I'm good. Like, it's Monday. Usually it's Tuesdays that I'm like, oh, Tuesdays suck. But you're just, yeah, Charlie Brown moping right now.
I'm snap trying out of it.
It's our last episode.
Trying not to be. And that, of course, is the voice that is familiar to you, should be familiar to you by now, of the Fairfax teaching prodigy, the mermaid memeing mentalist, the ever beautiful, ever wonderful Anna Knox, of course, live from Centerville, Virginia.
Yes. I can't believe this is another season. This is absolutely crazy. And I agree. It's definitely 100% not how we wanted to end things, but you know what? Love this team. Loves the fans. Love this podcast. So it's okay. It is okay, people.
Yeah,
I think the whole bracket got mixed up and changed. And if you had told me earlier in the year that Carolina and Avalanche would be the teams to look out for, I would have been like, what are you talking about? Because here I was like, oh, Tampa Bay, the Sharks, the Jets, and the Caps. Well, I got one of them. But
yeah.
You know, it just was crazy. And I, you know, we weren't going to end this on a sour note. I refused to have any negative comments about our boys. So if you want to partake in Debbie Downer conversation mode, that is all you.
I'm trying to get myself out of it. I'm trying to, you know, it's if I can throw out an old time, you know, sports history analogy. I read Art Donovan's book. Art Donovan, for our Maryland listeners, of course, Baltimore Colts legend. The Colts in 58 and 59 won back-to-back NFL championships, and they were going for a three-peat in 1960, and then after the first five games, it all blew up and they couldn't figure out why. And Art Donovan in his book said, he kept looking and looking for that silver lining, but he just couldn't find it. And that's kind of the mode I'm in right now. I think there is one. I just can't see it right now. The future is always, you know, well, never actually written in stone. We don't know what it holds for anybody, but I don't know. I just, right now, I only see question marks, and we'll talk about that here in a few minutes, but I don't know. I think I looked up and down the roster at in September and October, and yeah, I swore this looked like a team that could definitely go back to back. And it just, I don't know. It just wasn't to be.
But here's the thing, though. I mean, again, let's go back to how long the season is. And they had a shorter break due to Stanley Cup celebrations, which, of course, no one is complaining about. They come back. And, you know, it's a lot of pressure to put on any player or any coach to assume that you're going to go back to back. Look at some of the difficulties that we had to deal with, you know, from the beginning. You know, we had, so Grubauer's gone, so now you have Copley, which I've always been a big fan of. But you have Tom Wilson with a concussion, Tom Wilson being suspended 20 games. That was a big blow. You know, you had a couple of changes here and there. We had Cousy out. We had Oshie out for a good amount of time. We then had, you know, broken collarbone Oshie. Cousy's never been the same. You know, it's just a lot that this team went through. But I think for all the stuff that they went through, they came out fantastic. Good for them. I mean, we could have been looking at a season of, oh my gosh, riding the Stanley Cup wave, and then all of a sudden being like, whatever, we never even made it to the playoffs. Like, we suck. That was not the case. Absolutely not. So they had a lot of things kind of thrown at them. And there's a lot of pressure, you know, back to back in any sport. You know, just, I mean, come on. So you see question marks. I don't. I'm, you know, I love the team when I like so much, huge crush ever on the team that won the Stanley Cup. And I loved this team, you know, and we added Hags and Jensen. Oh my God. I always get that. And just, you know, line switches and here and there. And overall, I was super happy how things went. Do we wish they could have gone further? Of course. But you know what, as where we're at right now, I don't think there need to be any major shakeups. But boy, oh boy, are social media people throwing in their coach couch.
I'm not one of them. Except I don't know. It's where I see. Well, look. I there are good things, but let's get the bad stuff out of the way. And you kind of summed it up perfectly. There were a lot of pluses and minuses, as it were, this year, and I think unfortunately in the end the minuses caught up with them, especially in the form of fatigue. So, you know, and that was, I think that was the big thing. And so, I mean, well, okay. So one negative to start off the year was, of course, you know, Wilson's suspension, but they managed to get through the first month without him. Of course, when he came back, of course, he you know, made an impact right away. So that was a plus. Mm-hmm. So that kind of made up for that. And then another minus, I would say, is DSP not showing up in ideal condition, as it were, show up with the team. And you mentioned Cousy's and Oshie's injuries in the middle of the year. But they managed to recover from that. And I don't know, like you said, playing 100-plus games over the course of a year just finally caught up with them and bit them in the butt. And, yeah, it was just too much to overcome, I think. As far as the coaches go, I think overall, I would say Todd Reirden acquitted himself very well. He pretty much duplicated the regular season result. you really couldn't ask for more as far as that goes. They won the division again. So even with some of those, just mentioning a few of the obstacles they had to overcome that we just mentioned, I think that in and of itself is something to behold. Now, you and I are probably going to get into this about this, but I would say, if not the head coach, which I'm certainly not advocating replacement of, but I would say some, if not all of his staff might need to go. I'm just going to come right out and say it. I don't think Reed Cashman did very well with the defense this year. If you look at them, and it's not just the playoffs, but if you looked at the whole season, they looked disorganized. They looked out of sync at times. I don't know. I didn't like what he was doing with the D-core for most of the year. And a lot of other guys, you know, agreed with me. And Bernie Diehl was one of the ones who pointed it out all year long. It just didn't look like he had a hold of how they should be playing, spending their minutes wisely. And we kind of saw that in the overtime. You know, Niskanen and Orlov were out there pretty much, you know, I would say 85% of the 30 plus minutes for overtime. I mean, I know you got to shorten your bench, but my God, no wonder they were gassed.
And I'm going to come back with what I've said so many times before. It's on the players also. So, you know, that's what drives me nuts about this is this wasn't all of a sudden, you know, the Capitals, we were a brand new team and all these new players and we didn't know how they were going to, you know, mix with each other and this and that. No, you look at the names that were, excuse me, on the roster. Give me a break. These guys all played together before, you know, and they practiced together. They should know where they're supposed to be. What pisses me off is when you have an Orpik who is nowhere where he's supposed to be, or he's making stupid penalties. That's on the player. That's got nothing to do with Cashman. That is on the player. John Carlson, he should sure as hell at this time and this far into the season, if or whenever Bernie or whomever saw it, sure as hell should know where he should be. You know, I mean, he is a fantastic player and that's just it. Like, they know exactly where they're supposed to be. They know exactly what they're supposed to do. So I can't put that on the coach for players that this is your position. They didn't mix it up and all of a sudden put, you know, a forward in the D line and the goalies, you know, playing center or something. No, everything was the same. So I put it on a more 90-95% on the players doing what they're supposed to do. And Cashman, I don't know what he's like as a coach. You know, you don't see a whole lot of hot-headed assistant coaches, more or less. You know, they're kind of...
Well, I mean, it's not so much... That's the head coach's job, is as far as that goes. And admittedly, I think Todd Reirden has a ways to go as far as that goes. You know, and I get that he's just settling into the job, but and that may not be his personality, but I would say that part of his job, that part of his performance definitely needs improvement. But that's for next year. But as far as Cashman goes, I mean, the whole lefty righty thingy, I mean, that you know, that's his department. That's him laying out the defense and running the pairings and making sure they're not tired, making sure the shifts are all even. That's what he does. That's what he's in charge of. And Alan May talked about this as far as the, you know, making sure there's the lefty righty pairings and the right people being out there at the right time. And they didn't figure that out until game 5 or 6, and by then it was almost too late. That's just one of the things I had a problem with. And I don't know. I would have liked to have seen Todd kind of pull him aside and say, hey, look, you know, you might want to do things this way, or you might want to see about trying this, that, or the other. And he may well have been, because he ran the defense last year, you know, at, when he was the assistant. But that, I don't know. That's, I just saw a lot of things that I didn't like. And okay, fine. Brian McClellan, the GM, already said, well, there's not going to be any changes to the coaching staff. Fine. I just hope they learned from last year, if that's going to be the case. No, I just saw a lot of things.
I may have a completely different opinion come next season, where you'd be like, okay, listen, this was the first time, you know, with Reardon in the top and Cashman, and you know, we did this, and here are the things that we're going to change, and here is what we're going to look forward to changing or tweaking or pairing up, you know, whatever it is, come the fall. So who knows? I mean, you know, we don't know what goes on. I'm sure those guys are, you know, equally as disappointed as the players are that they're not, you know, playing the Islanders right now. But I still feel like, you know, the coaches are there to be the eyes and yes, and, you know, say things that they need to work on. But, you know, when you lose Kempney, you know, and Juice was there, and then you had Siegenthaler. It was like, you know, that was a lot of changes, but still the vets should have known where to be and what to do at the time.
Yeah, I do get that. I do get some of that, but I would say, I mean, next year, and I already posted this and I can't remember where, I think True Caps fans, somebody, might've been Ron Deal, who we'll hear from here in a little bit. I didn't say fire Reardon like a lot of other guys did, but I did say, well, look, Reardon needs to work on this, but you know, I think it's really on the assistants who didn't. And I'm not just going to throw Cashman under the bus. The power play stunk all year, or most of the year, and especially the playoffs. So Blaine Forsythe, he either needs to get it in gear or maybe, you know, consider other employment opportunities. And I wasn't overly impressed with, you know, the forwards and their defensive play. And that's, that of course is the domain of, Coach, Scott Arneil. And, yeah, I don't know. As long as they, you know, hunker down and get things together and come out looking better next year, I guess, you know, give them a pass, but I don't know. There were spots where I looked and I was like, what the hell are they doing? You know, but, you know, I don't know. Just throwing that out there. Okay. Well, all right. So we have a featured guest on who's been waiting patiently. And on top of that, we have a question from one of our most loyal listeners, a guy who's been with us pretty much since day one, and that of course is my man Kevin Simmons. Going to post this to all three of us, but I'm going to bring on right now our featured guest caller, and he is, of course, as I've referred to him in the past, our consigliere, of course. With his bringing his expert analysis, that's Mr. Christian Levesque. Christian, how you doing tonight?
I am good, other than the fact I'm battling allergies. I hate pollen, but I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm not
too bad.
Gil is the Debbie Downer of the night, so I'm fantastic. I'm excited to have you on again, Christian. I love it when you come on, and I think we're going to end our Power Play Point podcast on a good note, on a happy note, on a positive note, even if Gil doesn't want to.
Well, I hope you guys, look, Gil, I'm on your side, and I'm on both your sides. I just hope you guys can cope with me, because today at lunch, I took some time out, wrote down some points, jotted down some stuff, my thoughts together, took the emotions out. Because just like any other Caps fan, last week I was just nuts. But I'm calmed down. I'm good to go now.
There you go.
Yeah, I think these past 3, 4, 5 days, everybody, vented. Lots of people were upset, of course. You know, I think you'd hardly find a Caps fan that was happy about the result. But yeah, I think, like you said, we got it all out of the system, and it's, you know, just worth noting that, you know, I think this year overall, as far as the regular season went about as well as could be expected. So there definitely is that. That's hollow consolation, I know, but there definitely is that. But to get to our question from Kevin, I'm just going to go ahead and read it. He tweeted it to both Anna and myself. Anna is at Anox49, and I am at BlueLiner98. That's spelled BlueLiner98 on Twitter, if you are curious as to how to reach us there. Okay, so his question is, hi, Anna and Gil. The first few questions come to mind. Who is a priority in signing, top three? Second, what positions do the Caps need to focus on in the offseason? And third, new assistant coaches needed. We kind of just talked about that as far as that goes. So we'll get that out of the way. The GM, BMAC, already said, well, look, that ain't going to change. So there, you know, almost no point in talking about that. That the staff is going to stay the same unless, you know, Todd Reirden decides, well, you know what? This ain't working out. And he may well, because that's his call ultimately. But you're not going to see any – I don't think you're going to see any change there unless something comes up in training camp. So we'll get that out there, get that out of the way. As far as a priority in signing top three, well, let's briefly go over the FAs. I believe Carl Hagelin is – his contract is expiring. And pretty sure his age, he's an unrestricted free agent. Jacob Vrana is also a free agent, but pretty sure he's a restricted free agent, which means the Caps would get compensation if he's signed to an offer sheet and we don't match. So I would say those two are the top two. And then you have, well, Burakovsky and Connolly, of course, are the other two big names that are free agents. And Devontae Smith-Pelly, of course. Unfortunately, I would say DSP's probably played his last game as a Cap. I don't see them re-signing him. Connolly and Burakovsky, all unfortunately, also are probably up in the air. I think, One of our guest speakers tonight, which you'll hear later, said as much, but she thought his cap hit is a bit much to take with his general lack of production. So he's a big question mark. And while I'd like to see him stay, I don't know if it's going to happen. And Connolly has already said that while he'd like to stay, he'd also like to test the free agent market as well. So I don't think they'll be able to afford him when you think about it. And me, I think the priority ought to be keeping Hagelin because he makes the PK better. He makes the defense better. I'm going to eat my words. I hated the trade. I hated his signing, but I think he performed very well. He fit very well with the team, and he said as much. So I think that ought to be our number one priority is re-signing Hagelin, because like I said, he makes the overall defense a lot better. Okay, so which of you two wants to take the question now?
Go, Christian.
I can. Yeah, Hagelin, Vrana, Orpik, Connolly, DSP. I'm going to go in reverse. DSP showing up to camp out of shape hurt his stock a lot. I know the off season was short. Still no excuse, you're a professional athlete, come back in shape. It was a breath of fresh air, for him to come back in light of Oshie's injury. Yeah, it would have been nice if he scored, yada, yada, yada. But I think we have seen the last of DSP. Brooks Orpik, he said he's going to take about a month to see where he's at. ideally, this guy played his ass off all season. He came up big during the postseason. He had that huge overtime goal in game two. I'd like to see him come back as an assistant coach behind the bench. I know GMBM said that there's going to be no changes in the coaching staff, but damn, I'd love to see Brooks Orpik back there because I think he brings a lot of leadership, mentorship, and he brings a lot to this game. And him being 38, 39 years old, and he can still deliver a big hit like he does, oh, man, I'm going to miss that. Verana is a restricted free agent, but I think we're going to have to sign him. I'm not sure if we give him a bridge contract to a bigger contract or we just sign him. He brings a lot of speed, and that's something we were not showing too much of against the Hurricanes. Carl Hagelin, yeah, he's up there in age, but yeah, he's got some wheels on him too. He's great on the PK. He brings leadership into that clubhouse or locker room as well too. And Connolly, I just don't know. Contract year for Connolly, put up some big numbers. Does he do it again next year if we sign him? You know, I could see the Brinks armored truck going up to the back of his house right now. How much do we pay him? Are we going to overspend or overpay to keep him here in D.C., or is he going to give us the home team discount? I mean, I know he has said that he would like to play here, but at the same time, he said he would also like to test a free agent market as well, too. So that's tough. Hagelin and Verana will be the top of my list right now. Burakovsky, I'm going to have to wave goodbye to him because he does not come up whenever we need him. He did score some big goals for us against Tampa last year during the postseason, but the guy disappears when we need him. Man, if we can get Orpik to sign maybe 1 year, I'd be happy with that too. That's where I'm at, guys.
All right. Anna, what do you think?
sorry, pretty much agree. I liked Hagelin from the beginning, and I know, Gil, you just said you're going to eat your words, so I like him. I think he came off originally a little chip on his shoulder, and I think we, you know, as fans weren't quite sure how to take him, but you know what? After the first game, I was like, yeah, this was a good move. He's got good chemistry with the guys in the team. And when you see him in the locker room and before the game and everything, I like him. We better sign number 13. I mean, that's just, come on now. Jacob. But again, like Christian said, though, I mean, the speed and the skill and just the overall drive of Jacob Bronner, for as young as he is, he loves this sport. And, you know, I only can say that you can't have anything but complete and total admiration for a player that stays after practice to do whatever it is, swim more laps, you know, run around the track, throw a football, and in this case, shoot pucks. And look at him and how well he did this year and the amount of goals and just, you know, the vibe on the bench with him there is, I think, is always positive. God, I don't know, Christian, I'm on the fence with number 44. I threw Brooks Orpik under the bus last year for sure. And probably a lot of the first half of the season. And then something just changed. I finally saw him not just as a player, but also as a leader. And so I can see, you know, when you're talking about, you know, him being an assistant coach or something, I would so support that. I was there for, you know, the ceremony they had for him a couple of months ago now. And he's there with his family. And it's like, look at you, 44. Like, you just seriously came on here, kicked ass. You were strong, quite the force. and then a good leader to these kids who literally are just, you know, he's almost 20 years older than some of the guys on the team. So I'm not sure if he would come back for a year, but if he did, I would totally welcome it. On board with letting 65 go. I tried to come to his defense as much as I could, but I think the last, I don't know, 2 months, I would say he's just too inconsistent. And that's the big thing is, you know, when you see like a Vrana from last season, you're like, oh my God, there's so much potential. This kid's going to go really far. And then boy, did he ever prove us all right this season. Then you have a Barakowski and it's like, God, you have the talent and you have the skill, but you've got that mental block. And it is like when you're on, but you seem more off than on throughout the season. So he's too risky for me. And you know what? If Connolly wants to go look elsewhere, okay. You know, number 10. I just, you know, I don't know what to say about him. I always gave him shit like last year because I thought he was the one of, well, Chaisson, but that was just because of the French accent. But when Connolly was interviewed, I always kind of thought he was a little bit of a dud. You know, like I never like, and that wasn't a reason to not like him. But then I had an opportunity to see him at one of the DC kids camp events, charity events this year. And, you know, you couldn't help but just totally love the guy. I mean, you know, skating with the kids and everything else. Okay, so that's personality wise, but on the ice, he's another one. You know, if he's doing well, it seems pretty consistent. But then there was a good period of time where he wasn't doing anything. So I don't know. He's the one I'm on the cusp with, number 10. The other ones I think I'm pretty cut and dry.
I could agree. I like what you said about Burakovsky having the mental block. I think, I'm not sure if he was seeing a sports psychologist during the season or during the off season, but, and then it seemed like he was playing a lot tougher and harder out there after the trade deadline. I don't know if you guys noticed that or not.
Oh yeah.
I guess it was a total relief for him that he wasn't getting traded and that he was going to stay here in DC. But also Vrana, not only does he bring speed, but enthusiasm. That kid is exciting to watch.
When he is.
Scoring goals and the goofiness he brings. I like the goofiness he does. Like, you know, on the bench or during pregame skate, you know, it's fun, you know, and it's exciting for me being an old fart, but I like seeing that stuff. I like how he was one of the first guys to get a tattoo after they won the Stanley Cup the next day or 2 days later. That, to me, that's fun. That is so much fun, you know, and then he upped his game. He could have had a hangover this year, but he upped his game and I think, what did he have, 25 goals this year? It's unbelievable. And he was playing hurt. He was hurting. I know he was one of the few Caps that was hurting during the postseason. They said he had hurt his shoulder, but he still brought a lot to this team and brought a lot on the ice for this club. I really was excited about it.
And that was it. Like when you talk about a player that came on and he was 100% on all the time, you know, and he gave it his all. And then he'd get on the bench and he'd either, you know, smile and joke around the players, but then he was back to, you know, game mode, you know, and you just have to love that he is passionate about it. He's not out there just because he has to be. You know, he's a player that I think the Capitals would be stupid to not sign him because if this is what we're seeing at 22, I think there's a ton of potential. I have said it from the first time I watched him on, MedStar, well, probably Kettler at the time. And just, you know, you just get that feeling that this is a kid that wants it, but he's not going to showboat ever. He, you know, wherever he's got the backs of his players. And I think that that's always a good quality to have too. Like he's a team player. So.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. They would be very foolish not to sign him, although they wouldn't really be, well, they'd be losing a lot in terms of his skill, speed, and desire, like you said. But you know, he is a restricted free agent, so there would be compensation. But yeah, there's no point in not signing him. There I go with a double negative again. Sorry, I said I wouldn't be negative, but there I go. But in all seriousness though, yes, he is the future of the Caps, bar none. He is the future of this team going forward. So they have to sign him alongside Hagelin, who probably should at least spend the next couple, 3 years here until he starts losing his game. So I would say those two, as far as signing, would be a priority. Now, to spill over to another part of Kevin's question, though, he asked what part of the team, what position should be a priority. Well, those two guys are forwards, of course, but in the end, unfortunately, our depth at defense was challenged. So I would say that's also a priority. Unfortunately, there's two things working against them. Not a whole lot of cap room to work with. And nope. I don't think really not a whole lot of available third, fourth, fifth, or sixth defenseman out there as far as free agency, to be honest. So those two things kind of working against them.
But don't you think with Siegenthaler playing just short of 30 games the first half of the season and being sent down to Hershey because it was a numbers game, and then coming up as a pinch in the pinch in the postseason worked out pretty well. I mean, I know it was that gap, that one play where his stick got stuck in the boards, but, you know, people still call that a turnover, but I thought he played pretty well. He's a big bodied kid. I thought he did well, especially when we decided to sit Christian Juice down. But I that's something to look forward to next year as well. I mean, decide to retire, you know,
yeah.
I'm pretty excited about the kid.
Yeah, I have no problems whatsoever with Siegenthaler and the way he finished the season. I thought he finished the season strong. I thought he was a much better fit than Juice was. And yeah, I was at first kind of I saw him when we all you remember when we all went to the Cup game in Hershey.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him live, and mm-hmm. you know, Mrs. Blue Liner and I had decent seats, and we saw him, and not too impressive, but that was all the way back in October, and
yeah.
here it is now, yeah. April, and his game has grown by leaps mm-hmm. and bounds. He's much more confident with the puck. His along the boards game is strong. He's a decent sized body, like you said, and this kid's only going to get better. So that's a bright spot there. So I think come training camp next year, I think he's definitely, almost, I don't want to say anybody's a lock, but almost a lock for at the very least a bottom four spot. So mm-hmm. it's kind of like gaining a free agent there. But unfortunately, as you know, when Kempney went down and Juice never got back to what he was,
mm-hmm.
you talk about guys being tentative when they came back from injury. Juice was certainly that. So our defensive depth was definitely tested. So, I mean, if BMAC can pull another rabbit out of that hat, you know, that'd be nice because,
exceptional.
That'd be great because now you got mm-hmm. so you got Orpik, who's a question mark. So at the very least, you need to replace him somehow at least the seventh spot. And I don't know if Juice is going to stay or not. I think he's another free agent. I really don't know if they're going to keep him. And to be completely honest, I wouldn't be all that sad to see him go.
But here's another question to look at. With Niskanen, though, there's rumors going out that they could he could be a possible trade target because of, you know, how close we are to the salary cap. So if we do end up, let's say Orpik does make up his mind and he does decide to leave, and then we're out Niskanen, but we have Kempney back, we'll have Siegenthaler, and then possibly do you sign Juice to a smaller deal because of where we're at, or do you make a deal to get Niskanen out of town and bring somebody in? I mean, that's something I've seen now the last couple of days. I don't know if you guys have seen that or not.
No, I haven't. And that's why we're always glad to have you on, because you have that radar about
yeah.
you looking at one eye on the future always and what's possible. So yeah, that's something I didn't think of. But yeah, that certainly is a possibility, and that would, moving him would certainly open up a lot of salary.
Mm-hmm.
I'm opening up cap friendly now as we speak, so I'm trying to get a bead on his salary. But I think he's making something like at least $4 or $5 million in his cap hit. So yeah, if they traded him, they would be in a position to get a lot of room going on. Come on, website, quit jerking me around here. Okay, so yeah, Matt Niskanen, $5.7 million is his cap hit.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good. Now, if you were able to move him and bring somebody else in, it's a plus. Look what you did at the trade deadline, bringing in Nick Jensen. And then we ended up signing him to a 3 or 4 year deal to keep him in town for the next couple of years, knowing that A, you could be without Niskanen, B, you could be without Orpik for the next, you know, for the foreseeable future, you know. And then BMAC didn't know that Kempe was going to go out with this injury and miss the rest of the season, including the postseason, and now he does. BMAC looks almost like a genius because he brings in Jensen, sort of like last year, he brings in Kempe, and look what Kempe did. You know, so now you have a healthy Kempe coming back. You know, I mean, there's still some questions, but I look at it this way: with Hershey making a deep run in their postseason, some of these young defensemen are getting the experience right now, as a matter of fact. So they come into training camp competing for a job. Who knows? We have the younger Johansson brother playing right now. So who knows? Do you take a good look at him and see what he has to offer, or you bring in Lewington, who we brought in for a game this past season? Does the door open up for him? That's, I guess, something you can look at as well.
No, definitely. And that, I'm glad you brought up Tyler Lewington. They got a nice look at him this year, and yeah, I think he's definitely got some upside, some potential. But like Lucas Johansson, I think the both of them are still at least a year away. Mm-hmm. So they'll probably spend the majority of next season, if not all of next season, in Hershey. But yeah, those two guys are definitely ones to keep an eye on. Now the draft will also be very interesting. I got to give it the once over. They're of course going to be within the bottom 15 this year as far as where they're picking. But I'm not even sure if they have a first rounder. They probably do, but it's kind of a thin draft this year, so from what I'm hearing. So I don't know. I don't know how far that's going to be, but they need to start stockpiling now. And the buzz that I'm getting from fellow fans is that we need to start getting younger now. I heard that from a lot of guys in your room, True Caps, and in other places, that Ovechkin isn't playing like a 33-year-old, certainly, and he's leading the way, thank goodness. But you know, as a whole, the team is starting to get older and therefore slower. And yeah, that's something that needs to be addressed right now if this team is to be competitive going forward. Technically, the cup window is shut, but as we've all seen, at least this year, all you got to do is get into the playoffs and anything can happen. So I think at the very least, the Caps are still a threat somewhat to win the cup. So I think the future can be bright. A good move here, some trim of the salary there, a younger prospect blossoms here. You know, I think the future's definitely bright, but only if they start, you know, getting younger now and start, you know, building up some talent. So to that end, I just don't see the Caps being that much of a player in the free agent market, though they might need a bottom four defenseman, depending on, you know, what happens with Juice and what happens with how quickly Kempe heals and all of that. I just don't see them being a player in that market to fill that gap, especially mm-hmm. if, you know, all they can get is a veteran D. You know, it just wouldn't be worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. I got to agree.
So, yeah, that, but you know, like I said, the future's definitely bright as far as the decor, and Vrana represents the future as far as the offense. So, you know, it's kind of going to be a complicated gambit for Brian McClellan going forward. He's going to have to, you know, hodgepodge things a little bit as far as the draft and development. Like we mentioned, though, we got two guys on the decor in Hershey that, you know, are probably a year or two away. So we've got that ace in the hole. Beyond next year, though, like I said, it's a bit of a question mark, though. But you know, can't look too far in the future, I guess. But I guess I'm not as down now that I think about that. I guess I'm not as down as I thought. Mm-hmm. But what do you think? What deals should the general management focus on, at least going as far as the next 1 or 2 years?
Maybe a forward. I don't know. There were some glaring issues this past season with coming out of their own end, you know, the breakouts. Faceoffs was a huge deal. We missed a lot with Jay Beagle signing elsewhere. I liked how Backstrom was able to take the faceoffs during the power play. That was improved. But breaking out of our own end was huge in my book. Our power play was an issue as well, too. It was garbage, in my opinion, especially during the postseason. I don't know if we need to go out there and get a forward or not this season. I know GM BM had said that there were maybe would be a trade or two to bring some improvements into the club, because I know he wasn't satisfied. And yeah, I mean, he basically said what most of us fans were thinking, that we weren't satisfied at all, especially there were some issues going on with Kuznetsov, for example. He didn't show up this season. You know, it drives me up the wall that year in, year out, this guy can be the league leader in scoring, and he didn't show up this year, in my opinion, you know. And during the postseason, he had one big goal, and that was it. So I don't know if you bring somebody in and shake up the core or what. I mean, the core at least stays together one more year with Backstrom and Ovi, right? One glaring point that stands out in my mind is that we have Holtby and Backstrom one more year, and that's it. So what do? You know, that's something that sticks out a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's also a cause for worry. I don't want to even think about that, though, to be honest, because you would think they're both kind of shoe-ins to stay, but maybe not so much if you think about it, because as we just said, this team needs to start getting younger. And mm-hmm. if you keep them both, you're only going to get older as far as that goes. And in Holpe's situation, well, you got Samsonov coming up, and same person here. One of our guest speakers does mention that, and does astutely say that's a possibility that Samsonov is eventually going to take his spot away. That's pretty much the plan anyway. So maybe you mentioned a bridge deal. Maybe you sign Holtby for another 2 years at a competitive salary, and then mm-hmm. if he's willing to take it, and then you let him walk after that, giving Samsonov time to acclimate to the top level. And yeah, maybe that's what happens there. And Backstrom, of course, we'd like to see retire as a Cap, but I don't know what's he gonna ask as far as term and salary. You don't know. I mean, do you want to hang on to a guy when he's 38 and maybe his game is slowed down, and you're paying him upwards of maybe anywhere from $7 million plus? Right now, his cap hit, according to Cap Friendly, is $6.7 million. So do you keep it at that level, or you give him a raise? What do you do? So mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that when I said earlier in the show that was that there were some question marks, that's mainly what I was talking about. Besides the free agents we have now, it's the two guys where we have the potential of losing. So I don't know. It's going to be a nice, convenient balancing act for management to take care of. I'm just hoping we don't end up like certain other teams did, where the Caps were a one and done because they couldn't manage their salaries, they couldn't manage the payroll, and therefore couldn't afford decent caliber players. So I'm hoping that that's not what it comes to. So a lot of that's going to be addressed this year. So.
Yeah, BMAC is going to he's got a tough decision or tough decisions to make in the near future. But here's another question that I've seen on Twitter and on these other cap sites is that do you trade Holtby now while he's in his prime to get younger prospects since you have Samsonov in the pipeline? Samsonov is getting the experience in Hershey. So do you trade Holtby ASAP, or do you do the bridge gap? Do you give him a couple years left? Because obviously you don't want to bring Samsonov up too fast. And remember, we signed Copley a few months ago, if I'm not mistaken. So he's still up here for another 2 years as our backup, who I thought did a pretty decent job backing up Holtby. But that's another thing that's another question has been posed. Do you trade Holtby to bring in prospects to get younger, knowing you have Samsonov in the pipeline? You know, that's something to think about as well.
Yeah, that's definitely another possibility. But getting back to this year, trying to focus on some positives here. We mentioned Siegenthaler and how his game improved. And Vrana ended up having a career year. So those two guys can end up being the core as far as the future goes. And Carlson certainly lived up to his contract, I think. It's a crime that once again he was snubbed for even a Norris Trophy nomination. I don't get that, but I don't know. That's how it goes, I guess. But no, I was happy with him overall. So he's pretty solid. And getting back to the forwards, I guess as far as the future goes, that's kind of where some question marks begin to develop. Top line, of course, is solid. And speaking of top line, of course, and getting Anna back into the conversation here.
Top line Tom.
Yes, for sure. Probably, I would say, and not to kiss up, but probably the brightest spot of all this year.
He has that angelic halo, doesn't he? He's quite, yes.
He can.
Quite impressive. Well, I mean, and just aside from, my Tommy love, but I've had the Tommy crush for like 4 years. So this isn't like, Stanley Cup bandwagon crush. This is like when I got a signature in a mall like 4 or 5 years ago. Like, come on now. I've always liked the guy. But you can't help but sort of step back and say, hey, listen, he was out, originally 20 games and then down to 16 or 17. And he still managed to come out on top and play smart hockey and, had some pretty brutal fights there, but you know what? They were provoked by the other player. He wasn't out there just like he was when he first started, just kind of angry and ready to just go at anyone that looked at him the wrong way kind of thing. So a player that definitely matured and, to be out that many games and still come back and mesh with your team and have that chemistry and be able to score as well and then be everywhere. I mean, it was really impressive this year. So, I was here the whole time you guys were talking. I just had to go deal with a little kid homework issue. But I think, I think Gil, you hit it perfectly when you said, about needing younger players. I mean, it goes with any sport. You know, there are a handful of, you know, players in you know, NFL, NHL, NBA that you're just like, how old is he? Holy crap. And, you know, Orpik being one of them. And you know, then of course we've got those Backstrom and, you know, Holtby and whatever to consider. And I think it, I think that as followers of the Capitals, it's always hard to let go, you know, of somebody that you've followed and admired and rooted for and, you know, on and on and on. That, you know, to let them go or to, you know, have them go to another team is so much more heart-wrenching than it is to retire, I think. Because we, you know, they're like family. But it is time for those, you know, those young ones to come up and fresh legs. And, you know, they've got the aggression, they've got the skill, they've got the speed. They just need to, you know, kind of calm it down a little bit. But I think that Siegenthaler is a perfect example of someone who came into a situation and did extremely well. I really, really was impressed with this kid. And actually, when I think about how, you know, looking at Tony Alcott, when he writes about the Bears and how they're performing, God damn, like, that's impressive. Like, those guys are freaking, you know, they're coming out. And it's like, you know, go Tuna. Like, Liam O'Brien, like, I've always been a fan of his, but you know, the goalie wise and just how everyone's kind of coming together. So it's, if that is, you know, more or less the future of the Capitals in a couple of years, I'm all for it. Like I'm impressed with what those kids are doing these days. So, and I sound like a total old person, like those kids. But I think it's, you know, I think that the Capitals have to, exactly. Stop playing that music. But I think that, you know, you kind of have to sit back and have faith that the GM knows what they're doing. And I know, you know, and it can be very frustrating and you kind of want to be like, why would you think of that? There's a reason behind, you know, all these situations. I don't think Brian McKellen is like one that is going to look, that he's going to make impulsive decisions. I think he very much takes the time to look at the players and who's worthy of this and so on. So I think we just need to have faith in him and the coaches and, you know, getting back to 100% healthy Capitals team. Hopefully, you know, Oshie included. I'm assuming he'll be back because I don't know what broken clavicle, collarbone injuries are like. I'd like to see Kuzi certainly not play like he did this year. I'd like to see him how, you know, 2017, 2018 season. And I thought Michael Kempney, of course, one of my favorites, did damn well this year. And so I'm, you know, I feel like we still just have that strong team. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, all good points. And, you know, it's, When you add it all up, like you mentioned earlier, when you add it all up, it was just stuff that caught up with the team, with as far as how many games they played and how long the season, the grind of the season was, and it just, you add in the injuries that just happened all at the wrong times, you know, that kind of just wore everything down. And just, I don't know, when you get down to it, when you consider all that, you know, I hate to say it, but it just wasn't our year. The puck just didn't bounce our way enough. And, you know, it's not as if they played bad. And I guess that is, if you want a silver lining, that's it right there. They didn't play horribly. They just didn't play well enough. And so, like I said, if they make a few tweaks there, they work towards getting younger and faster, I think, you know, they'll remain a contending team for at least the next few years to come. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, there is that. There's some good that'll come, and it's not like this team's going to be horrible going forward, just because
every team goes through this, though. It's so, you know, it's that rebuilding. You know, we lost our head coach last year. We got a new coach. People were happy, not happy with him. And you know what? It's in every freaking sport. This is like, it has to go, because you can't possibly have a team that wins Stanley Cup every year, or, you know, the Super Bowl every year, or the World Series every year, you know, because it would be quite boring. But this is how it is. It's like, you know, you're going to have players go out, and players that get injured, and players that don't quite skate, or, you know, show up to the games like they should, you know. And in 92, I think that I will say it one last time, because this is our last episode. I never thought that he came back 100% after the injury from months ago. But, you know, and then that's time for him to take off for the next couple of months and figure out what's going on and what's needed, and whether or not it's, you know, he can give it 100%. And who knows what's going to happen with Oshie. It's like, he's such a damn good player, but his injuries are always so severe. And that's what freaks me out. Is I don't, you know, I don't want to see just something, you know, when he went down with that clavicle, you know, oh my God, that just broke my heart, because you could see how much pain he was in. So I don't know. It is what it is. And I think that we just need to be proud of them. You know, they won their division. We made it to the playoffs. I think the only word that comes to mind when I think about how they played against Carolina is fatigue. You know, I can't say it's on the coaches. I'm not just going to say it's on the players, but I'm just going to say, you know, the sport in general, these guys had you know, their break was cut for celebrating and doing all that kind of stuff, but it takes a toll, you know, it truly does. And I'm still proud. I'm still, you know, I'm having a hard time watching some of the games right now, although it's been pretty damn good hockey. So that's that.
Yeah, I think you're right. As of course you always are.
Nice save. Nice save for the last episode, Gil.
Yeah, speaking of the last episode, yeah, I think we're pretty much going to wrap it up here. I have to make a bit of a confession. For the last, ever since the elimination, of course, I've been kind of struggling with things. I don't want to make too much of it, but I actually considered making this the very last episode ever. As far as ever. I've since changed my mind, and with the help of a bunch of our loyal listeners who sent the invite out, this is something of an open mic session. And Christian, of course, thank you for coming on, was kind enough to take time to come with us live to tape. But we do have several listeners who sent in audio files who you'll be hearing from in a minute, but with the help of them, and of course, Anna, God bless you, and basically all of our loyal listeners from not only the DMV, you know, state of Maryland, Commonwealth of Virginia, and of course the District of Columbia, but around the world as well, as we've learned.
Scotland.
Thanks. Yes, Scotland, Wales,
Wales. Yep.
Thank you all. You kind of helped me turn things around. I listened to your posts, listened to your messages, read your posts, and you're passionate about this team and passionate about this podcast. And I can't help but return that in kind. So I have you to thank for it. And we're small but proud, but we're getting bigger by the day. And I just want to take this time to thank each and every one of you. I wish I could name you all, but we mentioned somebody before, Tony Olcott. I want to thank him kindly for his updates as far as the Hershey Bears schedule, especially with the playoffs. You can catch his posts on our Facebook site. Just some unsung heroes and heroines that post often on our page. My old friend Doug Lucerarian, who also can be seen in True Caps, Mary Beth Jennings, Kat Hadlow, Brian Bigham, of course, and his wife Heather. Want to send a special shout out to them. Ron Deal, who you'll be hearing in a few minutes, want to send a shout to him and his daughter Paige, who all through the last cup run had issues with her heart and has finally gotten a clean bill of health. So I just want to throw that out there.
Great.
And yeah, so you know, we're always looking for positives here. And that's definitely one of them. And so good to see that she's coming along as far as her health. Yeah. So thanks one and all for indulging me and Anna and Christian and all of us for another year. And as far as this post-mortem goes, thanks for putting up with us. I think the future's bright for this team. I have confidence in our management as well. I think the coaching staff is going to learn from their mistakes. So we're not happy with them now, I think, but things will get better. I can't see things regressing. I would be shocked if they would. Pardon me. So I think overall we're in a good position. So while I'm disappointed with the end result, if we keep our eye on the future, It's nothing to worry about, and it's nothing certainly to be ashamed of. So so we're gonna play the audio clips and end with that. So unless Anna and or Christian, you had some final thoughts you wanted to air out?
Oh no, I'm good. You guys were world class again, just like last year. I really appreciate you guys having me on. It was you know what? Nothing to be ashamed about this season at all. We played our butts off. It is what it is, you know. We have a lifetime of memories from last summer. Nothing to be down on. We were division champs. We played against a tough Carolina team. Nothing against those guys. Nothing against Justin Williams and those bunch of jerks. Those guys played their butts off. I am still really proud of our boys. Really proud of the job Reardon did. You know, he had a tough job or a task ahead with replicating what Trotz did for us last season. So I'm happy, excited for the future. I'm excited we're in good hands with GMBM. Excited we get to see Ovi and Backstrom and Holtby and those guys again next year. So I'm looking forward to next season. You know what? What are we in April, May, June, July? You know what? 4 or 5 months, we'll be doing this all over again.
Absolutely.
And so nothing to be ashamed about. Really excited.
For certain. And yeah, we're gonna keep an eye on the future, but yeah, can't wait for October again. I think it's just one of those years where you know, gotta just take some time, recharge the batteries, and I think that goes for all of us as fans as well. Because while it was last 2018 was exhilarating, it was also exhausting. Looking back. So it'd be nice to get a few months off and just, you know, get back in there full force. So that, but yeah, October is going to be great. I can't wait for this team to come back. So I think we're going to wrap it up here. And yeah, I usually end with a joke, but I'm going to end this with a smile because I like this team and like the way it is now. Hell, I love this team. I always will. But I think there's no reason right now why they can't contend for the cup. So, you know, aim high, just like they always say. So for Anna Knox and Christian Levesque, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off for 2018-2019. We will see you in October for next year. We might do another show with regard to the draft. I'll put out the information if we go that route. But, yeah, we'll at least see you again in October. And one last time, hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
Let's go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
It has been a disappointing week for Caps fans all over. And yes, disappointing for me as well. This loss really stung. Because last year after winning the Stanley Cup, I thought they could do it again. I believe most people thought they could do it again. So I feel like we are all shocked and surprised that the Capitals didn't get as far as we expected. But when a new team hoists the trophy this year, I will always have in the back of my mind what the Capitals did last season, hoisting the Stanley Cup trophy, all the memories they gave us. And I know this team will go back to the promised land. They will hoist that Stanley Cup once again. Because I know this team will not quit. They're going to get back to the grind, and they're going to go in to next season hungry for another championship ring, for another Stanley Cup. It has been a great season, but they have fallen short of the ultimate goal of winning the Stanley Cup. And as a fan, I cannot wait to watch some more hockey, some more Capitals hockey next season. Thank you to the Power Play Point Podcast for always producing great podcasts each and every week. I really do love your content, and I will definitely miss it this off season. Until next year, this is Josh Kirby, host of the Josh Kirby on Sports Podcast, part of the Mayo Please Podcast Network.
Hello, fellow Washington Capitals fans. This is Sonia Kendall from the Washington Capitals Hockey's Facebook page. I know emotions are running all over the place right now, but I have to admit that I'm, number one, not distraught with the way the season ended this year. Don't get me wrong, I'm definitely sad, but I'm not distraught. Because, number two, we are Stanley Cup champions for the 2017-18 season. That can't be taken away from us. I think our boys were tired, and it definitely showed in the playoffs this year. We went from an extremely long season to a very short yet long off season with all the cup activities into an amazing season this year, right up until Wednesday night. At this point, it's time for the team to regroup, rest, and come back next year kicking ass because we are the Washington Capitals. Thanks, Gil, and everybody for all that you do.
So where to start with the Washington Capitals 2018-19 season? I think for me, obviously you're disappointed, you're frustrated, but the one matchup that I really didn't want was Carolina. I mean, you look at, like, out of the top 5 point teams from January 1st, Boston and Carolina are two of them. Wasn't Washington, wasn't Tampa, wasn't any of the other division leaders in the East. It was Carolina-Boston. So, you know, at the end of the day, when you really sit down and look at it, Carolina being younger, a little quicker, made all the difference. And you're seeing in the second round. I mean, now these guys are believing themselves. I think they started believing themselves after Game 3. Game 4, we looked a lot better in the first round. Game 5, obviously, you know, everybody's like, oh, we killed them 6-0, blah, blah, blah. But the other thing is you have to remember, it was a 1-0 game until Backstrom, I believe, was in the box, comes out of the box, scores 2-0, and then it went downhill and kind of snowballed from there. But it was still a game up until, you know, it was 2-0, probably about 4 or 5 minutes left in the second period. It was a 1-0 game, and they score one of the three power plays in that second period. I mean, it's 1-1, and it's not a 6-0 romp, you know? So, you know, it's hard, but like you said, I don't want to sound like an excuse, but, like, you know, just to blame coaching like I've seen, not buying it. There's consistency. This team had a target on its back every night. And then you got the team winning the Metro. And I think it was one of the toughest divisions. If you look at the West versus the East and, you know, you see Tampa getting knocked out and three of the four teams are from the Metro in this round, the second round. With Columbus, with Carolina, and with the Islanders, Washington could have been there very easily. I just think it's almost like, well, you see Boston and Tampa racking up points, but yeah, they're playing like teams like Detroit and Florida and teams like that. Not to say we have a few weak teams in our division, but I feel like the Rangers gave people like their best game every night. Yeah, I feel like obviously the Islanders, the Caps, the Pens, the Flyers, I mean, we're in it maybe, you know, up until about the Stadium Series, maybe a little thereafter. They threw some games away. So overall, 2018-19 season, solid season. They battled their butts off. When it comes down to it, too, sorry to make it sound like season, I thought, like, the biggest loss, once they lost Kempney, I mean, look what happened when they pulled Kempney in and solidified their, you know, D last year, and everybody was slotted in a good spot, and I think that's always key. You know, you go back in the day, look at a guy like John Erskine, and, you know, he'd be slotted as a 3-4 guy, and, you know, I think that's one of the big reasons why the Boudreaux teams never made it over the hump. You know, but guys got to play where they're slotted and what you got, and it's the salary cap era, and it shows why it's hard to win. And to leave it at this, folks, that's why we should enjoy 2018. Never be complacent, but enjoy what we did because it's so hard to do, and Lord only knows after 44, now 45 years, we get that. So, hey, Gil, thanks for taking it, and we'll listen to the podcast. And hey, Caps fans, there's always September training camp. October we'll try it again and see if we got a twin for that banner up there. Have a good one, all. This is Ron Deal. Signing off for this year, I guess. See y'all.
First of all, Anna and Gil, I just wanted to thank you for having me on the podcast. It's been a lot of fun the few times I've been on there. Truth be known, I'm a really shy person. So this has made me come out of my comfort zone, and I really did enjoy it. So I'm hoping you invite me back again next season. Does it suck that things ended so soon? Absolutely. But for those that said the leaders of this team didn't show up to play or didn't play with heart, all I can say is just fuck off. It's a team sport. You win or you lose this one. Maybe the injury to Kempney and then Oshie was too much to overcome. Maybe Kuzi played too tentative after coming back from his concussion and then chicken-winged again by Hamilton. I don't know. I've never had a concussion, so I don't know how it can affect you. But they also lacked secondary scoring. What's done is done, and you come back stronger and more focused next season. We've seen the good, the bad, and definitely the ugly this past season. And if the end result is the only thing that ever matters, I feel sorry for Caps fans and hockey fans as well. Because you know what? We've missed out on a lot of good hockey. These last couple weeks have shown just how crazy the playoffs can be. One thing that still frustrates me to no end, though, is the inconsistency of the reffing throughout the league, and especially in the playoffs. I understand things get more tense in the playoffs, but dirty and dangerous play should still be penalized. When it isn't, things like what happened to Oshie will continue to happen. And the hypocrisy of the league that says that we should always protect our stars because they're the big draws and they're the ones that people want to see is a load of bullshit, because anybody from a first line player to a fourth line player, they all deserve the same respect, and they all deserve the same protection from dirty plays. The flip side also is these star players, and I say that with all sarcasm, should be disciplined the same as anyone else. At this point, I'm still watching the playoffs because I'm not done with hockey left. We don't know who's going to win the Stanley Cup, but right now I'm rooting for Grubby. Everyone wants Jumbo Joe Thornton to get the cup, but that jumbo ass of his concussed Oshie, and you know what, call me petty, but I'm not rooting for him. I also can't stand there is a code, but I don't live by it, rat bastard Marchand, but love Mojo. So if Boston Bruins... gagging a little bit, when I'll celebrate only him finally getting the cup. No one knows how this team's will look come September. I will admit that once Backy and Holtby said that they both wanted to come back, I had a little catch in my throat because I feel the same way. You never want to lose part of your family. Let's hope they get their extensions done this summer. And yeah, I know Samsonov is in the pipeline, but personally, I don't think he's NHL ready yet. I also want Baby B or Berkey to come back. But with his inconsistency, you know, that $3.25 million, I think, cap hit per year is a little bit hard to take with everything else that this team has to accomplish in the offseason. I'm so proud of Willie. He's continually to grow as a player and a leader this season, and I'm confident it'll be next season as well. To that end, I say you do you, Muffin Man, and we'll keep the guy who you say you're comparable to. I find that the best things about sports can be their fans, and also the worst thing about sports can be their fans. To the Hurricane players for the way they played, and the fans that celebrated Oshie's injury, all I can say is, bless your heart. I've met so many people in person and virtually online because of my love of this team and hockey in general that have become like a second family to me. So to all of you, I hope it continues, and thank you. Our season is over, but you can damn well guarantee that once October comes, I'll be sitting in Section 217, wearing my red thong, looking up at that banner and appreciating all that the team and the fans went through last year together. I'll be supporting the team. And last but not least, to Anna, let's thank the hockey gods for Patrick Sharp, and go Caps.
Good morning, Caps Nation. Red Rocker 671 coming at you live from beautiful upstate New York. Just wanted to take this time to say what an amazing season by our Washington Capitals. And to all my friends out there in Twitter land or the Twitterverse or whatever you call this Twitter thing, it's been an enjoyable time cheering our red, white, and blue Washington Capitals on this season. To all my new friends and to my friends from last year, keep the faith. We'll be back next year, bigger, badder, stronger than ever. And I hope you guys aren't a stranger this offseason. Everybody have a safe summer. And I love you, Caps Nation. Miss Ginger, Miss Mandy, Miss Stephanie, Miss Anna, Mr. Sean, Mr. Gill, everybody out there in Capitals land, all the announcers, Mr. Joe, Mr. John, Craig, all of you guys, thank you for an amazing season. And if I forgot anybody, I do apologize. But everyone under the Capitals umbrella, what an amazing year. And in the words of our awesome play-by-play radio announcer, good morning, good afternoon, and good night on the 2019 Washington Capitals hockey season. Take care. God bless. Go Caps!
Sorry. I have no idea what happened.
Well, I think we hit our monthly limit.
Uh-oh.